Technorama episode 487, Math Coprocessor.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Where is the most interesting geek in the world doing his book signings of How to Roll 20 Every Time?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Wrong button.
Nobody's sitting there. Whoops. He went to camera two. There's nobody in seat number two.
Is that my imaginary seat?
For those of you just listening, you missed the video pun. Sorry. This is Technorama. It's off to a great start. I'm not complaining about the help. They're here on their own time, and it's very voluntary. So
hey,
thank you.
What you pay for, Chuck.
That's right. Well, I paid him in chili vouchers tonight.
Yes.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes an extremely lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening or watching Technorama, thank you very much for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi. With me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I feel like a debate coming on.
Yeah, we're not debating anything. The debate's over in my mind.
Hey, Chuck, you know, in 2005, there was a recording of you, and you said this.
About, I'm just kidding. About Linux.
Yeah, right. It sucks.
I'm not buying into this whole Linux thing.
Grab the bits by the bits.
Grab the network cable by the clips.
Right.
All right. That's enough of the political satire that we're ever never doing. Also joining us in the Binary Studio very graciously is
Ben Ragginson of TG Geeks.
And video engineer of the night.
And hiding behind the microphone.
It's as big as his head.
Keith from TG Geeks.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Our pleasure.
Glad you're here. I'm glad you're here.
Yes.
So are we.
And we're glad everybody's safe from the hurricane.
Absolutely.
Yay, we're all safe from the hurricane.
we saw the thing to mark ourselves safe, so we decided to jump on the bandwagon, even though there's no hurricane in Phoenix, Arizona.
Has there ever been one?
No.
Are you kidding me?
That'd be a darn big hurricane, let me tell you.
That's why we live here.
I'm just asking for historical marks.
If it formed over Lake Powell, maybe.
Yeah.
All right. We have coming up in this episode, headlines read as follows. Germany calls for a ban on what? One man at Boeing thinks he can beat Elon Musk. I thought Elon Musk was a fragrance line, but that's just me.
It's not great.
And we have Batman singing, which you won't want to miss.
Oh, dear.
First, we are going to get into feedback.
Yay.
Letters lay.
Pig lay.
Look what came in the mail.
LMA. Ooh, today, hey.
It's my letters for right now.
Letters lay. Here we got it. Letters lay.
Letters lay.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
LMA, ooh, today.
You're singing the whole thing in pig Latin?
I'd have to work at it.
Don't we all?
Yeah. My pig Latin's rusty.
Leg Patton?
To Craig's like, no, I was not insulted. Actually, that's what most people use unlimited data for, is for illegally downloading things. Not into that. I'm way too much of a video snob to want to watch anything shot on a camcorder, and I really do believe pretty strongly in copyright laws. The only time I ever kind of get buck against them is when something is completely unavailable. But if there's a legal source or I just have to wait a few months to buy it on Blu-ray or whatever, I do it that way. As far as my data usage, it's about 120 gigs at peak data usage, and that's for high-definition video. Basically through Netflix, Hulu, now even DirecTV and to your DirecTV and all the cable channels. Every single cable channel has their own app now, even AMC. So, I mean, that's how I'm watching all of my cable TV, is streaming it via devices over my system. Now, I have Sprint, which has unlimited data on the phone, and I am using a quasi-legal Tether app to download, to move that over to my laptop.
Quasi-legal.
But unfortunately, though, let's see, well, right now I'm pulling into a parking lot, and I got to get people to move cars for me. So I'll type, well, I think I got my point through. So anyway, everything's cool. Yeah, it's completely legal. And yeah, the big problem with T-Mobile is they do throttle down. I think they have another term for it. It's like deallocating or deprioritizing and stuff. Mm-hmm. That happens with Sprint too, but all you gotta do is move from one tower to another and, you're fine. And usually towers are only about, you know, like a mile away from each other. So you just change your parking spot. Anyway, love the guys. Love the show. Thanks for taking this call seriously. It's gone on way too long.
Right, take it go seriously. I forgot to give a little background before I jumped into that voicemail. He had asked if there were any carriers that had unlimited data plans.
True unlimited.
Like you can get gigabytes and gigabytes and never have to worry about it, never be throttled.
I know Sprint used to have unlimited data, but do they throttle back now if it exceeds a certain amount?
What do you say, 120 gigs?
I thought that's a lot. A lot.
That's a lot. I mean, I would throttle them back too.
We have 30 gig.
Yeah, but I know. Keith and I are home 90% of the time, so we're on our own house Wi-Fi. So it doesn't, I mean, I stream a lot of stuff on my phone, but yeah, it's not using the data.
All righty. We also have another one last week. Was it last week's question? Was what is the lame superpower?
Superpower.
We wanted people to come up with lame superpowers, and Jack came up with this one.
Okay, super lame superpower. Rewind Man. Rewind Man can rewind any VHS tape or cassette tape back to its start. It was really popular back in the 1980s, but unfortunately, his abilities are kind of, well, really annoying in the future. Because basically he rewinds podcasts back to their start, progress bars on movies and stuff, and rewinds your Netflix queue back to the start of your episode.
Would he be Swipe Man now?
You thought you were 40 episodes into Orange Scrub Man.
Scrub Man.
Now you have to go find where you left off. Rewind Man.
Rewind Obnoxious. Man.
He now has a son who's Scrub Man.
Well, one's analog, the other one's digital.
There we go. He was employed by Blockbuster. Yeah. Now it's not.
I like that. Fellow listeners, if you missed it, you must send us your lame superpower. Like the man who can tie shoes.
Mustard Man.
Oh, I know what my superpower is. Whoever I'm around, their food will either fall apart if they're holding it in their hands, or it'll spill on their shirt.
Like a taco.
What? Yeah, that's my lame superpower.
You know, I've always said that if it's good enough to eat, it's good enough to wear.
See, and every time if Keith is eating something and he spills it on a shirt, I have to apologize for it. Yeah,
exactly. I think Brian Brown came up with the rule: one shirt, one meal, one shirt.
Yeah.
Somebody during the meal is going to ruin a shirt.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's my fault because I have that power.
It's his sphere of influence.
Yeah.
Hey, so every time you go to dinner with friends, you should just take a spare shirt for somebody.
Yeah.
Or a bib, so you don't end up being that person.
Bib. Yeah, bib.
No, I just don't tell
them. Yeah, Mr. Bib.
I watch the infuriation on their face as they continue to make messes on their shirts, and I just laugh.
Just as the fork of spaghetti gets to their face, you kick them in the shin underneath the table. Ah! And it spills all over their shirt, and then you're done.
Yeah.
You're not going to ruin your shirt because they already ruined theirs. All right, we have one
was
more.
That movie? What was that movie where the kid peed on himself, so the dad spilled sprayed water on his pants so it looked
what?
Like a... Yeah, so they look like they matched with other kids.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, never mind.
That's camera
phone. Hey, that's my lame superpower is to make up false memories.
We're watching Ben's arm talk now. Do a hand pump it, Ben.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I think we just got a new idea for the show. Camera 5 will now be played by sock puppets.
Oh, Lord. We always derail the show.
That's why you're here. We have one more voicemail from Brad P. and NJ.
Hey, Chuck. Hey, Craig. Hey, Donna. Hey, studio audience.
And Ben and Keith.
Everybody else. This is Brad P. from NJ calling in with the... What? Yes, you can say something.
Hello, people.
Oh, that's Rowan P. from NJ. Okay, so we're calling in with the lamest superpowers. Rowan, what was your lame superpower?
You can teleport, but only 6 feet at a time.
Nice. And mine would be that you can fly, but only 6 inches above ground. Now, if memory serves me correctly, and I'm not going to pull a crazy Joe here, but if memory serves me correctly, there was this author, I want to say Mer Lafferty, and she did great, awesome book and audiobook called Playing for Keeps. That was based on really lame superpowers. And I seem to remember the story behind it was that one of her friends at Dragon Con seemed to be able to, whenever they went to an elevator, summon an elevator at will. And while a seemingly useless power...
Not at a con.
Was really, really useful at that particular time. So I think the concept of wasteful superhero powers is also in context. So I throw that back at you as a challenge. So this is Brad P. from NJ and...
Rowan P. from NJ.
And we're signing out. Over and out.
Out. Nice.
We got a family voicemail on that one.
Over and out.
Right.
That was awesome. Yeah, the...
Hey, I kind of remembered the book right when he mentioned it. Oh, yes. I remember reading it. Yeah.
How about Beard Man? He can grow a beard in an hour.
That was the Santa Claus.
I've seen guys like that, but more like by the end of the day, they got a full beard.
Naked man. He walks in on people when they're naked, and it's always awkward.
Hey, what are you doing here? I'm at work.
Okay, roll the die. It's roll the die time. We're doing the history thing.
18.
11?
Or 81. I'm not sure which. 18.
Got an 7. 8.
You got an 8, Craig?
I got an 8. Yes, I got an 8.
Keith, Craig, Chuck, Ben. Keith, Craig, Chuck, Ben. Okay, if we put Craig's picture right there, it goes that-a-way. Okay, I'm using that picture of Craig as a mnemonic.
Okay, so what did we all roll? I got 18.
Yeah, I got an 11.
Okay.
I got a 7.
Keith? No, I'm sorry. Okay, so it's the other way.
I'm first.
It's the other way.
Yeah, no, since when do we start going in ascending order here?
Well, it's like priority one is better than priority
You're doing it wrong, Chuck.
Yeah. That's why I'm not playing any RPGs lately either.
That makes it easier.
Yeah, no kidding.
Makes
That's
it
right.
Ben and Chuck and then Craig and then me.
On this day in history for October 12, 2016, this is the 285th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 80 days remaining in 2016.
And it was on this date in 1492 that Christopher Columbus's expedition makes landfall in the Caribbean, specifically in the Bahamas.
Pacifically.
Yes. The explorer, better than Atlantically, the explorer believes he has reached the Indies.
Well, the West Indies might work. 434 years ago today, because of the implementation of the Gregorian calendar, this day does not exist in this year in Italy, Poland, Portugal, and Spain.
Wow. Is it my turn?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. It was 217 years ago today that Jean Genevieve LaBrousse was the first woman to don't interrupt me, I'm trying to read here. It was the first woman to jump from a balloon with a parachute from an altitude of 900 meters.
There's a novel idea. Most people didn't bring the parachute.
Yeah.
November 12th, 1823, Charles McIntosh of Scotland sells his first raincoat.
Hence the McIntosh raincoat.
That's how it works. And 169 years ago today, German inventor and industrialist Werner von Siemens founds Siemens & Halske, which later becomes Siemens AG, the largest engineering company in Europe.
Very cool. The Pledge of Allegiance is first recited by students in many U.S. public schools as part of a celebration marking the 400th anniversary of Columbo's voyages.
Columbo's?
Yes. Columbo.
Yes, Christopher Columbo. He was that detective.
Yeah, with the dirty coat.
He discovered the New World.
Hey, another thing there, Chuck.
He came over in 1492. Well, they did the Pledge of Allegiance. It was invented and recited in 1892.
And that same date, in 1928, an iron lung respirator is used for the first time at the Children's Hospital in Boston.
Very cool.
Also today in 1960, Cold War, Nikita Khrushchev pounds his shoe on a desk at the United Nations General Assembly meeting to protest a Philippine insertion of Soviet Union colonial policy being conducted in Eastern Europe. And yes, thank you for highlighting that for me,
You
Craig.
Missed the Alcatraz.
Well, Craig was playing with the script, so it's easy to miss it.
No, I didn't do anything. I was trying to highlight it.
Why don't you back up there?
Craig, when you move your cursor, your little name flag blocks out a bunch of characters.
So like that, yeah.
Do I get to do it again? Do I get to do the regular one? The military Alcatraz Citadel becomes the civilian Alcatraz Federal Penitentiary on this date in 1933.
Okay, so now I'm on that line. It was 52 years ago today that the Soviet Union launches the Voskhod 1 into Earth orbit as the first spacecraft with a multi-person crew and the first flight without spacesuits.
Ooh. Multi-personality crew.
Multi-personality syndrome?
Yeah.
No spacesuits. Did they bring a parachute?
Yeah.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the first of five books in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy comedy science fiction series by Douglas Adams, is published 37 years ago
37?
Today.
37 years. Oh,
that doesn't
Lord.
Sound right,
oh,
does
my
it?
My Lord.
It is right.
Yeah. It is right.
That's I thought
right.
it was longer ago than that. Okay.
Yeah, that's about right. And 22 years ago today, the Magellan spacecraft burns up in the atmosphere of Venus.
November 12th.
Oops. Editing problem. That's October. Sorry.
October 12th, 2005, the second Chinese human spaceflight Shenzhou 6 launched, carrying Fei Zhonglong and Nia Haisheng for 5 days in orbit.
Actually, that's pretty good. Keith's not bad with Chinese
there
names.
You go.
He's very good with it.
I'm going to have to check my application because this was the first time my new application was used to generate the events. So apparently I have an off by one bug in an array that translates the month number into a month name.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll work on that. Happy birthday goes out on this date too. French pharmacist and entomologist Etienne Louis Geoffroy, born on this date in 1725.
Nicely done. Also born on the same date, 1725, German chemist and pharmacist Christian Gmelin.
Oh, I thought and born October 12th, 1860, American engineer and businessman and co-inventor of the gyrocompass, Ember Ambrose Sperry.
It'd be nice if I'd get the right...
I was wondering why I'm staring
why
at
why are you staring?
Smile and wave, boys! I think it's Keith Stern.
The Ether. Creator of Gumby! Well, and also Pokey, I would Pokey. Assume. Art Clokey was born today in 1921.
Art Clokey's Pokey?
Yeah, Art Clokey's Pokey.
And Gene Nitech, the co-founder of Weight Watchers, was born on the same date in 1923. But after a little while, it only became 1900.
Yeah, right.
We lost
23 Think about
years.
It.
We lost 23 days. Or 23 say, years.
The man who co-developed Simula, Norwegian computer scientist and academic, Ole Johan Dahl, was born on this date in 1931. We all use Simula every day, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And Luciano Pavarotti would have been 81 today.
Notorious Venezuelan terrorist and murderer Carlos the Jackal is 67.
Is he old enough to be Carlos the Old Jackal now?
Yeah, I don't know. And the man for which the movie Behind Enemy Lines was based, pilot Captain Scott O'Grady, is 51.
And finally, Wolverine Hugh Jackman is 48.
Yay!
Yay! Look at that.
Did it.
Let's get our listener birthday calendar. From listener birthday calendar, we only have two birthdays, and I had to steal one of them off of Facebook. October 13th is Jason Schwanz. There's a tongue twister for you.
Jason Schwanz.
Practice that four times before the show. Jason Schwanz. Jason Schwanz.
Jason Schwanz. Jason Schwanz.
And October 16th is our own TD0013 Kevin O'Connor. If you would like to get on the birthday calendar, go to chuckchat.com/wiki, and we will give you a shout-out at the appropriate time of year. We could really use people between the dates of October 12th and 18th.
Really yeah, nice. Fill out the calendar. Come on.
Fill it up. People put their family in there. They put their cars. I don't know what they do.
Oh, their cars.
There.
We'll tune up.
There's an iPod in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the way it was on this day in history.
Gosh, we're taking a break.
October 12th, 2000.
We're taking a break. We're back with the news, Hacks and Strange Stories, and some other good stuff. Stick around. You won't want to miss it.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the annual Running of the Technorama Stakes. It's a beautiful afternoon here as the horses enter the starting gate. Conditions are perfect for running of the race. And there's the bell. Coming out quick, it's number 11, Haxor, with Green Fedora sporting number 3 right behind. Number 14, Road Warrior, looks to be using a lot of specific tricks to get around. Coming into the first turn, number 22, Dual Core, seems to be running with twice as many legs as the rest of the horses. Number 12, Big Dig, is using some cheap shots to try and bury the rest of the field, but it only leaves him showing his youth and inexperience. Rounding the second turn, number 10, Daddy's Mech, is pulling alongside and seems to be gaining market share. And number 4, Open Port, is letting everyone by. As we come into turn number 3, the sexiest filly, number 6, BSG, is causing a bit of distraction, while number 9, Ubuntu, starts to pull out in front. What's this? As we go into turn number 4, Del's Latitude seems to have suddenly burst into flames. It looks like Del's Latitude is out of the race. Coming out of turn number 4, it's number 9, Ubuntu, out in front. Number 11, Haxor, close behind. Road Warrior trying to make the last-minute move. Daddy's Mac moving up for the fight for second. Road Warrior starting to run into trouble. Wait, ladies and gentlemen, we have a problem on the track. The starting gate is still in the way. We cannot finish the race because it seems that number 8, Windows Vista, never got out of the starting gate. It seems anyone who bet on Windows Vista has no hope now. The crew is now getting the gate cleared with Windows Vista being walked off quickly. The horses are in the final stretch, and number 6, BSG, is gaining support. BSG is running like a machine today. And across the finish line, it's Ubuntu, then Daddy's Mac, BSG, Dual Core, Haxor, Green Fedora, Open Port, and Big Dig. Thank you for joining us for the Technorama Stakes, and we look forward to seeing you at the next race of the Triple Crown, the Geekness.
This is Richard Hatch from Battlestar Galactica, Tom Zarek, and the original Captain Apollo, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
He says it so emphatically, you almost think he listens.
You know,
whenever I hear Rich...
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Whenever I hear him say Technorama, I keep thinking it sounds like a little like T.
When I heard that whole horse race bit, I thought you were going to pull a Spike Jones on me. And at the very end go, and the winner is
Beelbomb.
We're going to have to update that one because it's not Del Latitude bursting into flames anymore. It's Samsung Note 7.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah.
Note 7's coming around the corner. Yeah, it burst into flames.
He's out of the race. And we'll have to also
took a few with him
from dual core to like quad core or something. That one's a few years old. All righty. Are we having technical issues?
Yeah, I'm down 2% now.
Is the charger not charging?
It says it's charging.
Oh. It's an authentic Apple cable weird. And charger.
Yeah.
All right. Our first real news story of the day as we get into this 23 minutes later.
Yeah.
Germany isn't content with relying on financial incentives to usher in an era of pollution-free cars. The country's Bundesrat, the federal council, has passed a resolution calling for a ban on new internal combustion engine car. No, I think that should be no internal combustion cars by 2030. From then on, you'd have to buy a zero-emission vehicle, whether it's electric or running on hydrogen fuel cell.
It's a ban on new ones.
Oh, it's a ban on new cars.
Yeah, on new cars.
So you can still own one,
but you just can't
buy one.
Well, I imagine they're going to go and rob, steal the ones that you own by, force. But yeah, you can't have any new ones going forward. So I don't know. That doesn't seem very viable to me, at least not unless something miraculous happens.
Well, ours is a positive zero emission vehicle. The Subaru, they did that for the California laws, and they did it nationwide. So I don't know whether that qualifies or not.
I think this is a great idea. I think somebody's got to draw a line in the sand. And
sure.
13, 14 years is not inconceivable to say, all right, manufacturers, deal with it. You've got time. Let's do it.
Especially if you're giving them some kind of incentives. you know, profits or things like that. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. And the, as I mentioned, financial incentives weren't working. And I noticed the picture we had on the screen was of a VW, which makes it easier to pass emissions tests. Oh,
I was going to say, if there's anybody that wants to get her, we'll be talking, after 2030, we'll be talking about, how they cook the books on their mileage.
Right. it goes 600 miles. Really? Really? If you turn the radio off.
Yeah. Yeah. No air. Yeah. And yeah.
Surprisingly, we're getting,
I think it's good. It's like, you know, it's like Kennedy saying, we're going to go to the moon, you know, saying, basically starting, you know, like you said, drawing a line in the sand and saying, at this point, this is where we got to be. So otherwise it would just be status quo going forward.
It'll never happen. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Putting a sign on the land. What?
We have another story about
a sign
Boeing,
on the land. That's
Boeing
right.
CEO believes he can get to Mars before Elon Musk.
Good luck.
He's drawing a line in the Mars, in the already. Mars dirt.
In the Mars dirt, the red sand.
Yeah, he's drawing a line in the red sand.
Yeah.
Craig, would you like to read this one?
Mars, sure.
Desert.
Boeing CEO Dennis Muilenburg believes that it's his company that is going to be sending the first humans to Mars, not SpaceX, not that dirty SpaceX company. At the Chicago event.
Those old brand comparisons. Would you like Colgate or Brand X?
Yes, SpaceX.
Would you like to go on Boeing or SpaceX?
Would you like NASA or SpaceX? So actually, at the Chicago event, sponsored by The Atlantic, Muilenburg declared that he was convinced the first person to step on Mars will arrive before riding riding a Boeing rocket.
Oh, SpaceX just right out of Dr. Strangelove. I'm on a rocket. Woohoo!
Yeah. Woo! Yeah, with the hat. With Slim Pickens was riding.
Exactly.
Yeah. So SpaceX chief Elon Musk, recently laid out his grand plans to ferry people to the Red Planet aboard an interplanetary. Why do I have to read that?
Interplanetary.
Yeah, a powerful ship. The company's already working on. While Boeing has comparatively been quieter, Muilenburg isn't just all talk. So, the Elder Aerospace Corporation has been working with NASA to build the Space Launch System. Sounds like it's something we already have.
It's the SLS for the people in the industry.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Inside baseball there, buddy. And the agency's most powerful rocket yet designed to fly to our reddish colored neighbor. Besides, Boeing has had a great track record. It helped the U.S. beat the Soviet Union to the moon. And if you recall, the company built the first stage of the rocket, Saturn V, that took astronauts to the planet satellite back to our planet satellite, rather.
I didn't know Boeing built the first stage.
I didn't know
stage.
That one either.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's news to me. I thought
they were involved, but I didn't realize that that's what they did.
There's a great embedded video link in here with about a 30-minute interview with him, taking him everywhere from his history. He started as an intern at Boeing. He's been there over 30 years. Now he's a CEO, and he goes over
the
history.
I was a janitor. Now I own the company.
The company is 100 years old. Yep. That says something for they're doing business right and still doing it right. So having an eye on the future, he's not only interested in going to space, but underwater as well. They've got some underwater vehicles planned.
Interesting.
Mm, yeah. We do that all day long. Come on.
What, we go underwater?
Wait a minute. He's deflecting. We go underwater. What are you talking about?
Boeing?
Nope. I'm done.
Them? I don't know. I know everybody goes underwater.
Keith's iPad just gave up the ghost. Sorry.
It just quit.
The battery died, even though it was charging.
No more sounds from me.
Sorry, folks.
Wait a minute. What's he talking about going underwater? So, I mean, we do that. Look at James Cameron went down to the
That wasn't the a Boeing vehicle, though.
The American Trench. How do you know?
Because they don't have one yet?
Yeah. Calling you out.
Because the interview said we don't have one yet?
Hey, you know, people say things all the time.
Is that how it goes now?
Don't even go there.
It's on the internet?
Yeah, it's on the internet.
You believe it. You saw it on the internet.
Yeah. Take it with a huge grain of salt.
All right, there's still a few weeks left of Halloween.
I did. Yes? I was not aware that they didn't have water vehicles as well.
Well, that's what they were talking about in the interview. That I was watching it. I actually watched one of our videos before the show started this time.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Well, show I do crap. From time to time, maybe.
Once in a while.
Yeah.
Most of the weeks, we just grab the craziest sounding headlines and try it.
What is this prep thing you're talking about?
We just did our show, and there was, I was trying to catch up and watch all the videos, and the one I didn't watch, he asked me
about. That's the one we have to talk about.
Ow.
So what were your deep thoughts on this video?
Well, I didn't watch that one.
I really liked your book, Mr. Author. Really? What part did you like best?
The cover.
The font?
The art was beautiful on the cover.
Hacks and strange stories. It's still a couple weeks away from Halloween, but if you have a mom, aunt, grandma that likes to crochet.
Oh, dear God.
This is
here it comes.
Oh, dear
God.
Are you ready for it?
This mom crocheted an ET outfit for her son, which I think is adorable.
Oh, no, you don't.
Ain't it cute?
No, it isn't.
No,
that there's nothing cute about that. It needs to be buried under a landfill.
Wow.
Is this the kind of thing that's going to scar the child for life?
It's scarring me. I'm just looking at it.
And look at that.
If this kid walked up to your house, what would you do? Slam the door?
I'd be screaming and pulling, running away.
Well, look at the
why? Did you hate E.T.?
No, but it doesn't look right.
When he looks down, it looks pretty good.
It's scary. It's scary. And it's from Crotchetverse.
Yeah.
It's a 2-year-old kid, man.
That's 2 years old?
I'd say 3 or 4.
Yeah, that's 2 years old. Right.
It's, really? It's scary. Really? It looks like something out of some bad sci-fi flick that I've seen.
Okay.
It's
out of a sci-fi flick.
But a bad one.
Oh. Yeah, he's talking like B-movie stuff. Roger Corman's
alien
next
from
movie.
Mac and Me?
Yeah.
Looks like that alien from Mac and Me.
Well, now that you mention it,
Roger Corman's crochet man.
It sort of does look like that alien from Mac and Me, the E.T. ripoff.
Hey, this is what would happen if Spielberg ran out of the budget. Okay, fine, we'll just crochet the thing.
My wife is pretty handy. We can figure this out.
We'll figure that costume out somehow.
Honey, yeah. Need a favor. You know those hot pads we have?
We have 2 weeks. Start crocheting.
There you go.
No logos this time. We don't need like red wings on it or anything. All right, let's turn the page and go to the chat room. We have a live chat every Sunday night, 6:30. We are going to be here. And hey, by the way, we are considering shifting from YouTube Live and our embedded page to just going straight up Facebook Live. So that might make the interface and the chatting and whatnot a little easier. Not sure how we're going to monitor that.
Yeah.
Because comments come in.
We'll have to have another person.
No. Well, we have a problem scraping up the staff we got now. But actually, there is no show next week. I'll mention this again at the other show. But Craig and I have a business venture next week. Actually, Craig is doing a leadership thing, and I'll be on my way to San Diego, if not already there, for work. But 2 weeks from now, which will be the recorded on the, what's 9 plus 14?
23.
Yes, thank you. The 23rd, we will do another one there.
Hey, by the way, if by the time you hear this,
we won't be here for that one.
Maybe during the week, we may be doing a couple of tests. So keep an eye on our Facebook thing. You might see something.
That's true. We'll do some tests. The 23rd is also going to be the weekend of Phoenix
Comic-Con
Fan Fest.
Yeah.
Which Mrs. Technorama and I will be attending, as will the Two Gay Geeks.
Yes.
Although you are staying Sunday night.
Yes.
So that's why they won't be in the studio. I will be getting in probably pretty beleaguered, but have stuff to talk about for another con.
It'll be fun.
That will be fun. We're going to see what that's all about. Exploring new territories. Have you been to FanFest yet?
Yeah. Oh, this will be our third.
Yeah.
Oh, well, gee, veterans. What can I expect?
Well,
it's Comic-Con, but smaller.
Yeah. Okay.
Basically.
More intimate?
Yes.
A little bit. Yeah.
It'll be interesting now that they're doing it at the convention center again.
Yeah, it'll be different since they're going to do it at a convention center instead of the mothership. So.
Same convention center where Comic-Con was. Yep. The downtown. Yep. So we did like north and west or something.
Yeah, actually, they're not using the entire building. They're just using a
portion of it.
Just
they're
the lobby.
Yeah. They're probably the going to do some
the,
of the...
They were in the corner. They were in the media corner.
Yeah. Probably some of the floor space on the basement and then up on 3 or something, 3 West or...
Okay. Something like that. But yeah, they're it's nowhere near as big in terms of panelists or actually facility usage.
It won't be quite as hot either.
Yeah. No, which is great for cosplayers.
That's exactly why they originally it was in December, but they moved it up to October. They're doing a test out this year.
Right? Yeah.
They hadn't thought of that.
Chuck, be sure to take your recorder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The H6 is coming with me.
Yep.
All right,
we'll have our studio there as well.
Yeah.
Again.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Remember When, the Media Corner, and the Geek Library. Stick around. More fun coming at you.
He rolls 20 every time. He laid out plans for man to reach Mars and return safely on a cocktail napkin. The next day, it was approved. He always knows where his towel is. He is the most interesting geek in the world.
I don't always listen to podcasts, but when I do, I listen to Technorama. Stay geeky, my friend.
This is Vernon Wilmer, Star Trek The Experience's Borg Drone 7 of 16. Why are you listening to Technorama? Because resistance is futile.
Aye, aye, aye. Well, we pulled that one out, right? We have three most interesting geek in the worlds to choose from, and I got the one with the rolls 20 every time. Got lucky on that one.
Actually, I thought it was funny. I was thinking the coincidence about him
going to Mars.
Trip to Mars.
Yeah. As long as he's taking a Boeing
the most interesting
rocket.
Geek of the world. So the most interesting geek in the world is the CEO of Boeing.
Yeah. He's a prognosticator. Apparently, that thing was written years ago.
Yeah.
All right, in the media corner. Oh, you're all familiar with Bilbo Baggins by Leonard Nimoy.
Oh, it's a classic.
Yes. Are you familiar with Miranda by Adam West?
I have probably heard it on Dr. Demento, but it's been a long time.
Oh, that's a good point. Oh, well, here, in case you missed it, this is what...
Will tonight be the night that Bruce reveals himself to the magnificent Miranda?
That intro didn't sound right at all. Will he reveal himself?
Yeah.
The Dark Knight reveals his sword.
Now, keep in mind, this was probably produced by Herman's Hermits or somebody, because it's got that 60s flair to it.
I never met a girl like you before, Miranda.
Miranda.
And I'd do anything for you if you just ask.
Miranda.
Ask me to do anything for you.
I need a sound. My poor iPad.
But please don't ask me to remove my mask.
Warning!
It's
warning!
Against the code of heroes. But you know how much I love you, darling, so come into my kingdom.
Hey, so this is what's going through Batman's head.
Boy genius, what are you doing here?
Bruce, come right away. There's a job to be done. A giant octopus has run amok in Washington.
Boy genius, this is one time you'll have to go it alone. Would you like to see
a giant octopus?
When was this done?
Now, the thing that I like is he doesn't sound at all like he's reading a script, does he? Bat Bruce, come quick. There's a job to be done. There's another one coming up that's even
see me
worse.
Make my muscles dance, Miranda.
Oh my word.
Miranda. For someone powerful as me, it's no big task. Ask me to do anything for you, Miranda.
Except remove my mask.
But please don't ask me to remove my mask. It's attached to my special super thermal V nuclear long underwear.
Oh, dear Lord.
Oh, my brother.
Tonight,
oh, boy.
I'm going to kiss you.
Bruce, something terrible has happened. Mr. AC/DC, the electric brain, has threatened to turn off the electric current all over the...
The band's breaking up.
See what I mean?
Holy Sherlock Holmes, boy genius. You're becoming a real stick in the mud.
Wow.
You better zoom, zoom right out of here.
Zoom, zoom right out of here.
In his Mazda.
Oh, I can see the hurt look on your face, Miranda.
From the singing, most likely.
So I'm gonna do the little thing you ask. Miranda. Come take a peek. A teeny weeny peek. Miranda.
A teeny weeny peek? That's a teeny weeny peeky.
Okay, okay. All right, I've had enough.
There, darling. What do you think?
It's almost over.
Oh, please, put it back.
Drat! I've never had a girl like you.
Burn!
Miranda. Miranda.
It's a teeny weeny peeky.
Miranda.
When was that released?
Let's see if we can find some facts behind this. Batman, Return of the Caped Crusaders has a lot of homages to the 1966 show, but according to its writer, there was one more great big one that didn't make it into the final movie. And it's definitely one of the weirdest references you could have found. Writer Michael Jelinek talked to us at New York Comic Con about the third act that had to be reworked because of musical rights. One thing, and I don't know if it didn't fit or we couldn't afford it, but Adam West sings a song called Miranda in the 60s. He sings as Batman. It's sort of his poppy song, and we were sort of trying to build the whole third act around him singing his 50-year-old pop song. I didn't know if it was popular at the time or not. We just couldn't get the rights to it. It was either we paid for that song to be in the movie, or we paid for the classic na 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 na. So you can guess which one they picked. Doesn't say an exact time. Oh boy.
Well, Batman came out in 66, so sometime probably after that. Or right before that, the movie, right?
It definitely has that Bilbo Baggins feel to it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sad but true.
Yeah.
Well, on that, let's thank our patrons for sticking with us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Maybe we should have done that first.
Thank you to our patrons, Kyle Nishioka, Mike Will, Steve Therian, Saturday Morning Media, a.k.a. Grant Pachoco, Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Ben Vaughn, Dennis Patnaud, Nick St. Gabriel, and Amy Bowen. They get special content each week, which is even more special than that song that we just played. And they will be getting a special gift at the end of the year from the Binary Studio. Thank you very much. If you want to be on this list, we have some spaces left for you. And you can join for as little as $1 a show to support us. It goes to great lengths to help offset the cost of bandwidth and hosting and new equipment and producing specials. It's all kinds of fun. We do this for the love of
you.
You. Thank you.
Love of you.
For the love of
Miranda.
For the love of Pete. But we don't have a Pete on here. So thank you very much. We appreciate it. We want to help you help us help you. Something like that.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Let's move on. Stop the music. Stop. I want to get off.
Please.
All right, moving from Batman to Shatner in the media corner. Where's my media
Shatner!
Corner?
He said the magic word.
Wait.
Stop it.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
And
over
things.
Here, in the
and
media
things.
Corner.
And things. Oh, because this has a tie-in to Batman, which is why we put it. Ben, would you do the honors? Oh, let me get this scroll back where you can see it.
Just because William Shatner can do anything doesn't mean he will.
Should.
So it comes as a pleasant surprise to hear that the legendary actor will soon lend his voice to the animated Batman universe.
Shatner will voice Two-Face in a newly announced sequel to the upcoming animated film Batman Return of the Caped Crusaders.
Two-Face.
The news was revealed at New York Comic Con screening of that film, which features the voices of the 1966 Batman cast, Adam West, Burt Ward, and Julie Newmar. Two-Face was never on the show, so Shatner is an awesome bit. There's no timetable on the sequel to the Return of the Caped Crusaders, but the first one will play one night, only on select screens, October 10th.
Oh, we missed it.
It'll be on Blu-ray November 1st.
Yes.
I have to wait for the Blu-ray then.
I'm actually looking forward to Return of the Caped Crusaders.
Have you seen the trailers for it? It's hilarious.
Yes. It looks
it's hilarious. It's on YouTube.
It's the 66 Batman and Robin, animated, of course. And I like how they open it up and they're laying on an enlarged TV dinner going into a fire.
What?
You need to watch the trailer.
Yeah, I guess
it looks like it looks like something that you would have seen. It looks like something ridiculous you would have seen in the show. They're laying on a TV dinner and they're debating how to get out of it. And they're going in, it's on a conveyor belt going into the fire. And so, I've seen some clips from it. I think it looks great. I'm ready for it.
All right.
Moving
right along. Where are we? There we go.
Well, the Mad Geek who has everything.
We know a few of those, I think.
You did what now?
I think we know a few of those.
A few of the Mad Geeks who have everything?
Yes.
Well,
We're trying.
We're working at it.
12 South, an American company that specializes in Apple product accessories, recently launched a scented candle that it claims captures the specific smell of a newly opened Apple computer.
Oh really?
Dear Lord.
Called New Mac, the unique scented candle has notes of mint, peach, basil, lavender, mandarin, and sage.
Just what I remember my smell.
Combined closely mimic the smell of a fresh new Apple product. It's made entirely of soy wax, hand-poured in South Carolina, where 12 South is based. New Mac will burn 45 to 55 hours, unless you put it in airplane mode.
Yeah. Or you plug it in.
Says the man with the dead iPad. Constantly filling the room with the special scent, which the company claims is longer than the smell of an actual new Mac lasts.
Oh, dear.
And best of all, you can simply pay $24 for a new one.
Yay!
Instead of hundreds of thousands of dollars, or hundreds or thousands of dollars.
Hundreds of thousands,
new Apple computer.
No free shipping, though. $14.99 to ship. And if you call today.
Bring it into the genius bar.
Hey, can you fix my...
my new Mac candle is smelling like new car.
It smells like... Mavericks. Doesn't smell like El
it smells
Capitan.
Like it's smelling like Windows.
Well, take it to the Windows store then.
Hey, I wonder where they're at. Where
12 South store. Is located?
Yeah, it's in South Carolina.
You want to go take a tour?
Yeah.
I would actually go. Oh, they got other products too.
Yes, they said they have other Apple accessories and this is just one of them.
So how long will it be until they start selling that in the Apple store?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not an Apple product, but maybe.
Apple will snap it up.
It's an Apple store. So they got stuff in the Apple store. I was looking to see where they're at, if they had an actual store. But there's a big thing. It says they're closed due to the hurricane at the top of their site.
Are they safe?
They should be selling lots of candles now.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go check. Yeah, they should. Hey, Dave Slusher could use a couple.
The electricity's out. You need Apple candles.
It'll burn 45 to 55 hours.
On a single charge. All right, we have... Craig, this is the second week of our binary challenge. Do we get the answers to last week's?
Why, no. We didn't hear anybody try to answer it. So here we go.
There's a big note pin there.
Here's two more facts. Or are they?
Are both of them right?
I got two options.
Is one right, one wrong? What are we guessing here?
Wait a minute. I'm trying to let me talk and you'll find out.
Oh.
I got two facts on here. One
so
could be right, the other could be wrong.
To say
they
here.
Both could be right. They both could be wrong. I want to hear somebody let me know.
Okay. So question number, fact number one, approximately 70% of virus writers are said to work under contract for organized crime syndicates. That may be true. That may be false. We want you to tell us what you think. Question number two.
Yes.
On average, an average person normally blinks 5 times a second, but when using a computer, he or she blinks only 3 times a minute. I'm calling shenanigans on that one.
I'm calling shenanigans on the second one because I don't believe it's 5 times a second.
Yeah. And I don't think 3 times a minute is right either. I don't think it goes quite sideways.
It's for the listener.
You know what the most commonly used language in programming is?
English?
Profanity.
Yeah.
I was going to say the same thing right there. Profanity.
Very nice. So those are two facts. We want to know which one. Are 70% of the virus writers? Well, actually, either or both true or false. Let us know. Our question of the week. What is your most proudest cosplay or Halloween costume moment?
Oh, good heavens. Oh, Lord. I'd have to go back to when I was 9.
I have to say the Men in Black. That was a lot of fun for us.
I don't have one.
I'm still having... Men in Black was fun. And I'm glad it kind of took on its life and still lives in the parade, but I think we're having more fun with the Futurama thing.
Oh, I didn't say, I agree with that, but I'm just saying that was the first time I've really done cosplay kind of out, except for Halloween.
Come on, it's pretty prestigious being the closer to the Dragon Con parade. That's my proudest moment.
I was talking about the first year we went out there and I had a good time doing Men in Black and people's, go, oh, let me get your picture. You know, that kind of stuff was kind of cool.
Let's start a Phoenix Comic Con Fan Fest parade.
Yeah.
It'll be just four of you guys.
I mean, it's got
to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Did you see the...
Do you have a permit for this parade?
Did you see the special on the CW when they did the Dragon Con parade this year? And they said, they were talking to the guy who started. He said, 20 years ago, we had to enlist people to be in the parade, and there were maybe 1,000 people watching it. And they showed the camera angle of people coming into the Marriott at the end. It couldn't have been deader on the sidewalk if you tried. They had barriers, but there were maybe 6 people behind them.
Wow. That's tragic.
It was really sad that first year. Now it's just wall to wall people. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Breathe. We're at the end. We've made it.
End of the show.
There is no show next week, as I mentioned earlier in the show.
In this show.
Craig and I have work to do. Unfortunately, real life is getting in the way. But that won't preclude us from keeping an eye out for those weird and strange stories. Yeah,
we should fix that and just quit.
What?
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 We're just getting started.
No.
Almost 500 shows. We're just getting going.
No. You said work was getting in the way. I said we should just quit.
Oh, quit work?
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, yeah. If it were only that easy.
Maybe in another 10 years and 500 shows, we can.
Hey, wait a minute. I'll go tell my wife. Hold on a second.
I'm cashing in the 401k for a new mixer. Yeah.
Honey, I've got this great idea. We're just going to podcast for the rest of our lives.
I had to sell the old car to get a microphone. Oh, wait. That gag's already been taken. Where's my 60-second clip here at the end of the show? Oh, it's this black one at the bottom. There we go. I always forget where I put that. So thank you very much once again, Ben and Keith. Oh,
our pleasure.
Tell the listener where they can find your wonderful show.
Thank you. TGGeeks.com.
You guys are still cranking out the movie interviews.
Yep, yeah, we are.
We're coming up on episode 100, not tomorrow, but
the week after.
The week after. 18.
Very good. Congratulations.
Whatever.
Thank you.
That's outstanding. Oh, I wish I could be 100 again.
Well, if you do the Jenny Craig thing.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
The Jenny Craig podcast plan.
That's right. Going backwards.
Answer our binary trivia question thingy. Give us listener feedback. Correct us on any facts that we got wrong and things.
Things.
And things.
Call us on the listener line, 707-530-2428. We want to hear from you. And Craig, give me a binary high five.
101.
All right.